Thank you so much. Thank you, Rabbi Whitman. Roshos, Rabbi Arbusfeld, it's a covet to have you here. Roshos kala kadosh hazeh. There is no formal mathematical knowledge necessary for this year. Please do not worry. We are going to spend a fair amount of time getting to know one of the most prolific of the Rishonim, and he's going to give us. We're going to take a tour with him of Sefer Shemos, and we're going to take a tour with him of some of the key ideas that the Torah is introducing us to over the past number of sedras and over the next number of sedras. The Rishon I refer to is the Ramban. Among all the Rishonim, all the great Chachmei HaTorah who lived from the year roughly 1000 to 1500, Ramban perhaps is the most prolific of them all. Many Rishonim wrote many, many important svarim. Ramban, among all of them, perhaps wrote major svarim in more genres than almost any Rishon. He wrote not only Chidushim on Shas and a major Sefer Halacha, he wrote responses to the Rif, he wrote poetry, he wrote Perushim on Sifrei Nach, and he wrote Tshuvas, and he wrote, the list goes on and on and on, he writes an important work in the world of Sifrei Mitzvahs, and for our purposes today, he writes a famous Perush al HaTorah, Perush Ramban al HaTorah. The Perush Ramban al HaTorah itself is a work of extraordinary breadth. They'll move effortlessly from dealing with halacha to dealing with parshanut, pasuk by pasuk, to dealing with medrash, to dealing with kabbalah, and it's all comes together in one holistic miksha achasi. And not only that, but in this week's sedra gives us a rare opportunity to see a whole new level of learning Chumash, to which Ramban introduces us. And it's particularly on display with the fact that Ramban is one of the first, probably the first major Rishon, to not only write a pasuk by pasuk perush on Chumash, but to include significant introductions to each sefer of Chumash. He's not only interested in what this pasuk says and what that pasuk teaches, but he's very taken by the question of what's sefer Vayikra about? What's Bamidbar about? What's Bereishis about? Or for today, what is Shemos all about? That question bespeaks a certain breadth of perspective, and he's consistent with it. He's going to develop what's the theme of the Sefer, and then take us through the Sefer, and we'll see all the details will arrange themselves around the basic organizing principle. What is Sefer Shemos? It's for that reason that I have the privilege of learning Ramban with my 12th grade Talmid MTA, as a part of our approach of not only learning more, but expanding our horizons. Expanding our horizons, expanding skills, and expanding perspective. And Ramban does that in glorious ways. And opening Shemos together with Ramban is a unique opportunity to do that. So let's take a look right now. The Ramban begins with what's really a pretty basic question. It's a basic question once you adopt Ramban's perspective of not only looking at pasuk by pasuk, but let's look at the big picture. I know there's a cosine graph on top. I imagine some of you are excited by that, some of you are frightened, and many of you are puzzled. So unless you're in the first category, for now you can ignore it. And instead turn your attention to Maramaka number one. Psukim with which we're very familiar, we just heard them yesterday afternoon at Mincha. The Ishmael's B'nai Yisrael Abba Mitzrayimah, Eis Yaakov, Ishu Ve'Esavo. Here are the names of the sons of Yisrael coming down to Mitzrayim. It's Yaakov and his family, and the Psukim go on to list Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and so on and so forth. So far, it's exactly what we expect. Nothing remarkable until you ask yourself a simple question. To what historical event is the Torah referring in the opening pasuk of Shemos? And the answer is, well, we're talking about the Jewish people coming down to Mitzrayim. But let's back up a pasuk. Because you look at the previous pasuk, again, when you write a Sefer Torah, so there's the halacha requires a certain number of blank spaces between one Sefer and the next. So you imagine you open up a Sefer Torah, so below the blank space is Ve'el Shmos, but right above, the last pasuk of Vayechi, but you hear it here printed as source number two, Vayamas Yosef Be'meya Ve'eser Shanim Ve'achatu Oso Ve'yisem Ba'aron Ve'mitzrayim. The pasuk with which we ended yesterday morning's laning, the passing of Yosef at the ripe old age of 110 years old. The Ramban wonders, 1 second. So Bereishis takes us all the way through the demise of Yosef. Yosef's 110 years old. The very next pasuk is not picking up where we left off. The very next pasuk is not picking up with the next generation. We'll get to that in Pasuk Hey. But Pasuk Aleph, Psukim Aleph, Beis Gimel, and Dal, the opening Psukim Shmos, jump back approximately 70 years to the story it's really told in Vayigash. Source number three. Vayakam, we think of this as a Vayigash story. Vayakam Yaakov Be'er Shava, Vayisu B'nei Yisrael as Yaakov Avihem. Yaakov finally prepares to leave Eretz Yisrael, gathers a family, they all get together, Tapam Nesheim Ba'akalos, they get into the wagons that had been sent to bring them down. And so on and so forth over the course of source three, in Perek Memvav in Vayigash, Pasuk Zayim, Banav Uvnei Veso, Ito Banosav Uvnos Banav, the children, the grandchildren, the men, the women, they all head down to Mitzrayim, and here you have the list. This is in Parshas Vayigash, the list of the Shivim Nafesh, which is being given in that entire paragraph of Vayigash, the story of their leave, the Yeridah from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, the beginning of the Galus, and the list of the family of Yaakov who go down to Mitzrayim. So that entire picture is given in summary version, again, at the beginning of Sefer Shmos. And the question is, what? Well, why are we jumping back? This is old news. We're jumping back a sedra and a half. Just to review, just to remind us that we're in Mitzrayim, we know that. We learned that in Parshas Vayigash. We've already been in Mitzrayim all Parshas Vayechi. Why does the Torah need to review this in the beginning of Shmos? And that's the Ramban's first kasha. And then his second question, and we'll take a look at the Ramban within in a moment, is not only does Shmos appear to start too early, because we're backing up, seemingly unnecessarily, but Shmos also seems to have the same problem on the other end. It seems to go too far. Because if Shmos is about, that's what Shmos is about, the Ramban tells us, we'll read within in a moment, in source number four, that Shmos is a story of Galus and Geula. It is. The names that Chazal have for the five Chumashim are the names that we think of as being the English or Latin names. But Exodus is a Sefer HaGeula. That's Chazal's name for Shmos. But the question was Sefer HaGeula, so you would expect maybe partially clearly of the Gullus and Shmos and Va'era, and Bo is Geula. Okay, maybe B'Shalach is continues with Kriyas Yamsuf. Even if you somehow include the Matan Torah in that story, that takes us through Yisro Mishpatim. We're still roughly the halfway mark of Shmos. And if anything, Truma Tetzava Vayakel Pikude, the mitzvahs of building a Mishkan and of putting together Big Day Kahuna, they seem to have a lot more to do with Sefer Vayikra. I think for a moment about when the Rambam presents in his Mishnah Torah, his compendium of all of Halacha and Torah Shvah Peh, when he presents the topics of Beis HaMikdash, so he opens Sefer Avoda with Hilchas Beis HaBechira, how to build a Beis HaMikdash. He continues to talk about Klei HaMikdash HaOvdimba, with a focus on the Big Day Kahuna. And then he moves on to how you bring Karbanos. Maaseh Karbanos, Psula Mikdashim, and so on and so forth. So, and it seems like it strikes as a pretty logical way to think about it. You need to have a Beis HaMikdash, you need to staff the Beis HaMikdash, the staff need uniforms, and then let's talk about what actually gets done in the Beis HaMikdash. You would have expected Vayikra to be built that way. You'd expect the Sefer Vayikra to begin with Truma Tetzava, Vayakel Pikudei. Here's how you build a Mishkan. Here's how you clothe your Kohanim. And now let's talk about how you bring a carbon in Vayikra and Tzav. So Shmos seems like, it strikes us, again, once you adopt the Ramban perspective of what's Shmos about, you step back, you look at the big picture, and Shmos seems too long. It seems to start too early, it seems to end too late. You want Galus and Geula, just hit me with it. So take a look in source number four. This is Ramban's Hakdama to Sefer Shmos. Ramban has the Hakdama to Bereishis, but the Hakdama to Bereishis is intertwined with the Hakdama to Chumash in general and Hakdama to his Perish. The Hakdama to Shmos, in a sense, is the first pure Hakdama to a Sefer of Chumash with which Ramban presents us. It's such a gem. Let's read some of it now, and we'll think about it, and then we'll move on to the rest of what the Ramban has to say. Hishlim HaKasuv Sefer Bereishis, Shehu Sefer Yetzir. Again, here we are in source 4, Ramban's introduction to Shmos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu completes Sefer Bereishis, which is Sefer HaYetzira, and that's the book of Genesis, that's the book of beginnings, of creations. He echoes here what he had written at the beginning of Bereishis, that it's several different sorts of beginnings. It's Chidush Ha'olam. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's creation of the universe. V'yitziras kol notzar, which is every single creature in this universe, as well as a reference to the creation of humankind and civilization. And then, more as Bereishis moves from the universal to the particularistic, more specifically, this beginning of the story of Am Yisrael, uv'mikrei ha'avos, it not only deals with the creation of universe, creation of civilization, but with the stories of the avos. Ramban is alluding to, it doesn't sound like a creation. Now we're just getting to sort of a person-by-person narrative. He says, no, don't worry, that too. The story of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, those two fit the overall scheme of Bereishis, because they are ke'inyan yitzira lazarim. An episode in Avraham's life, an episode in Yaakov's life, wasn't just a personal encounter that Avraham had with Avimelech, or that Yaakov had with Lavan. They were personal encounters, but they were also, on a macro scale, yitzira lazarim, that was creating Jewish history. He Ramban restates an idea that he's used access throughout Chumash Bereishis, Masa of a similar banim, a comment of Chazal the Ramban made famous, that the episodes in the lives of the avos weren't only happening to them, it was also similar banim. It was also laying out patterns that would play out over the course of Jewish history in the centuries and sometimes millennia to come. So the Ramban says, as we take leave of Bereishis, we look back at Bereishis and we say, wow, what a gorgeous whole sefer built around a single theme. It's a theme of Yetzirah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was creating the universe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was creating civilization, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was creating specifically Jewish history through the lives, those centuries of the lives of the Avos. Masa Avos Sim Labanim. The Ramban says, and now let's turn our attention from backwards to forwards. Let's turn our attention to the sefer that lies in front of us. Now that we're done with that, hischel sefer acher. Now that yitzira is done, now we're ready to actually see Jewish history begin to play out. We're going to see the actual events, the simon labanim that was built in sefer Bereishis, and that's going to be Sefer Shmos and beyond. What's Sefer Shmos specifically about? Nisyachet Sefer Ve'ela Shmos, Ve'in HaGolos V'HaRishon HaNigzer B'Feirish U'B'Geula Mimenu. Shmos specifically is going to be about the first Golos and the Geula from that first Golos. And he mentions already, just in clearing his throat, that this is a Golos, this initial Golos, Golos Mitzrayim, was one that's already even more heavily rooted in Sefer Bereishis. It was Nigzar B'Feirish. This was mentioned explicitly. Unlike other events in Jewish history, which are alluded to, the Remuzim in Sefer Bereishis through Ma'aseh Avos, this was actually direct Nevuah that Avraham Avinu got. That's source number 5. The Bris Ben Apsarim appears in two stages in Chumash Bereishis, a couple of psukim apart from one another. And HaKadosh Baruch says to Avraham, let's turn our attention for a moment to those psukim in Perek Tezvav, source number 5. The Yomer Avraham, Rabbeinu Shlomo says to Avraham Avinu, Yadoa Teidaki Gei Yezarecha Be'eretz Lo Lahem. You have to know that Kalal Yisrael will be in Golos, Be'eretz Lo Lahem, a land which is not their own. They're going to be Gerim. They will not be, they're not going to be Toshavim. Ba'avadum Ve'inu Osam Avraham Yoshana. It's going to be difficult for centuries. V'gamas HaGoya She'avoy Don Anochi. But after the Golos and after the oppression will come, number one, a mishpat, Kadosh Baruch Hu will bring justice to those who oppressed Klal Yisrael. Number two, Achrein Kein Yetzu B'Rechush Gadol, Klal Yisrael will leave with great wealth, both physical wealth, which they leave Mitzrayim, as well as the spiritual wealth of Torah, which Klal Yisrael begin to receive only 7 weeks after leaving Mitzrayim. And then a couple of psukim later, Kadosh Baruch Hu caps it off. Number three, Not only will the Golos end with justice, the Makos, and the Rechosh Gadol, but also, Bayomu Karas Hashem as Avram Bris Lemar, Kadosh Baruch Hu promises Avram Avinu Lazaracha Nasatis Aratazos, Minar Mitzrayim Badan Nahar Gadol Nahabros. This is all part of the story of bringing Klal Yisrael to Eretz Israel. So the Kalas are going to go through Golos Mitzrayim, and we're going to emerge with Rechosh Gadol. We're going to merge with Mishpat to Mitzrim, so let's leave on the side. Klal Yisrael will emerge with Rechosh Gadol, both materially and spiritually, and with a connection to Eretz Yisrael. The truth is, if you step back for a moment, that's the story of the final four chumashim. Aside from Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Midbar, Devarim, if you zoom out even more, the story of Chumash is really the story of the realization of these couple of psukim. Bereishis, Midbar, Devarim is the story of all Chumash. It's the story of the rendezvous of Kelal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're leaving Mitzrayim, receiving the Torah, coming to mitzvahs, and coming towards Eretz Yisrael. That's the story, in a nutshell, of all of Chumash, is the Bris Ben Absar. And now the Ramban says, if we appreciate that, so then we begin to understand, let's return to the middle of the middle paragraph, source number 4, Ramban Zagdama to Shmos. He says, now we understand our first problem. Right? We have laid... The Ramban hadn't. I had laid out in advance. There are problems that he's going to allude to. The first problem is with Chumash Mos is it starts too early. Why did it back up so much? Why just get started? Pick up with the next paragraph. Pick up with what happens with the next generation. Ramban says Lachein Chazar v'Hischol b'Shmos Yordei Mitzrayim Misparim. That's why the Torah goes back. We're stepping back. We're rewinding by a couple of decades. To begin the Sefer with the names of those coming down to the time, Umisparam, and numbering them. That's the Parak Aleph Pasikei, Chayikol Nefesh Yosei Yerach Yaakov, Shivan Nefesh. There are 70. Alpha Bishak Fire Nechtabza. This is already written, not only written, it wasn't written in the previous Pasik, it was written in the middle of Vayigash. Bavur Kiri Dasam Shamu Reshes Hagalos, Kimi Azucham. He says, number one, you got to understand that if Shmos is going to be the story of Gullus and Geula, so we want to sketch that entire story. So to appreciate Gullus, you have to know where we were. So the beginning of the Gullus is the beginning of that downturn. The beginning of that downturn, so even though we already spoke about it from a voracious context, because the Yaakov and his children going down to Mitzrayim was relevant as a part of Masa of a similar bottom, as part of the lives of the Avos. That's why it appears in Bereishis. But it's reviewed again here briefly because that's also part of the story of Shmos. That sketches the beginning of the Gullus. Now, why is it so important to see where we were? And how about that other question of why does Shmos extend as far as it did? Okay, so we see the Gullus and then we see the Geula. And the Geula takes it through a bow and maybe... Kriyas Yamsuf and Bishalach, and maybe in Matan Torah and Yisro Mishpatim. The Ramban goes on to say the following. If you want to appreciate why Shmos, Sefer Shmos goes as far as it does, you have to appreciate what Geula is. If Geula is the end of Gullus, it's not just being free politically. It's not even just getting the Torah. The Gullus will only be completed, Geula will be completed, Gullus will be ended, I should say, and Geula will be completed the day that they come back to their place. But he doesn't mean physical place, because Shmos is not going to take us all the way through Klal Yisrael's return to Eretz Yisrael. Chumash as a whole will take us up until the other side of the river. There's only in Sefer Yehoshua we're going to hear about after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, we're going to hear about the Jews physically returning to the geographical location where the Avos had been. But he doesn't mean physical place. To come back to where we were spiritually, as he goes on to say, Vel malas avosam yeshuvu. Gullus is completed and Geula is achieved when Klal Yisrael returns to the level that the Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov have been operating at when they were still in Eretz Yisrael. And he says, Ukashiyatsu Mitzrayim, hearing over the next couple of lines, he's going to make brief reference to a concept that he expands on elsewhere, and this is going to expand our perspective on the events of Sefer Shmos. Ukashiyatsu Mitzrayim, when they left Mitzrayim in Parashas Bo, Avo Pishiyatsu Besavadim, no, we're out, we're politically free, we're geographically outside of Mitzrayim, Adayin Yechashvu Golem, we were still to an extent in Golos. We didn't even know where we were. We were roaming in the desert. And what changed? When we come to Har Sinai, v'asu ha-mishkan, it's not just a question of coming to Har Sinai. It's certainly true that in many senses, Matan Torah was the completion of the second half of the story, the first of which is Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the Ramban writes in Parshas Emor, that in a sense Pesach and Shavuos are one big super Yom Tov, and Sfiras Omer is sort of like the Chol HaMoed that connects them, because the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to get us to Mamad Har Sinai. That's why Rav and Shmuel have a discussion in the last paragraph of Pesachim, whether the focus of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Haggadah, should be on the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim or the story of Mamad Har Sinai, because, again, they are one story. The goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to get us to Mamad Har Sinai. The Rabban says, but that wasn't the end of the Galus. It wasn't just getting the Torah. It was when we got the Torah and Asu HaMishkan, and we made a Mishkan, V'shava Kadosh Baruch Hu v'hishroshkin aso b'neihem, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu came back to us, and we once again had a hashras hashchina, az shavu el malos avosam. When we had a mishkan and it was working, it was tuned and it was working, and there was a return of hashras hashchina to Klal Yisrael. That was incredibly significant. That was a return to being Klal Yisrael once again in the spiritual place where the grandparents had been, where the Avos had been. Soda Loka Alei Aleihem. They were, Avos are Merkava Lashchina, the Heimem and Merkava. That's a somewhat Kabbalistic concept, but that's a reference to the fact that the Avos were, so to speak, the vehicle for the conveying the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And when the Jews were not only politically out of Mitzrayim, but had spiritually, A, received the Torah, and B, built a Mishkan, and C, the Mishkan was working with Rosh Hashchina, at that point they were back in the place where the Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov had been, and what does this mean? And what does this mean? What does this mean? So, why the Mishkan? Now, we're beginning to understand that that's why the second half of Shmos belongs. Truma Tetzava v'Yaakov Pekude. Truma Tetzava records that Kadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Moshe and telling Moshe the mitzvahs of making the Mishkan and making Big Deguna. But Yaakov Pekude records Moshe telling to the Jewish people, and the Jewish people actually implementing it and building it. So the Ramban here is alluding to a larger machlokas, a very important machlokas that he has with Rashi, and it's an example of where technical methodology sometimes has very, very important, far larger thematic significance. It's the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim appears here as source number 9. The Gemara has an idea. The Gemara talks about the fact that Perek Aleph of Bamidbar deals with Rosh Chodesh Iyar. There's a dateline. Dateline, the beginning of Bamidbar, is the first day of the second month. You fast forward to Perek Tes of Bamidbar, the discussion about Karban Pesach and Pesach Sheni. There the dateline is a month earlier, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, before Pesach. And the Gemara says, what's going on here? The Nichtov here, source number 9, Gemara Pesachim Daf Vav Amud Beis. The Nichtov Bereishis the Chodesh Rishon, Ba'adnu the Nichtov the Chodesh Sheni. How come Perek Tesav Bamidbar appears after Perek Aleph, if it happened earlier? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Menashe Bar Tachlif Mishmei Derav, one of Rav's lesser known Talmidim, Rav Menashe Bar Tachlif, quotes in the name of Rav, Zeu Someres E Muktom Ucha Batorah. This is an example of the fact that the Torah does not always record events in chronological order. Often they are in chronological order, but at times, ein muktav ucha b'Torah, just because something appears second in Chumash, doesn't mean it happens second, because sometimes the Torah will choose to record events in thematic sequence instead of in chronological sequence. So, now, that the Gemara has this idea, ein muktav ucha b'Torah. There is, though, a major machlokes we've shown him how broadly do you apply it. Specifically, Rashi is of the opinion that they can be applied very broadly. You have the right to assume. You look at two different events, two different paragraphs in Chumash. If there's reason to believe the second event happened first, look, ein muktam u'me'ucher b'Torah. That's Rashi's approach. Ramban is much more sparing in his application of ein muktam u'me'ucher b'Torah. After all, says Ramban, the Gemara's examples where he had explicit dates. Here it said Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and here it said Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So Ramban is of the opinion that Ein Muktam Mevucha B'Torah can only apply when the Torah makes it explicit. Okay, so that's the Machlokas in Parshanut. Machlokas how to understand. The Gemara is presenting us with a tool, a rule for understanding Tanakh, Ein Muktam Mevucha B'Torah, Chumash in particular, Ein Muktam Mevucha B'Torah. Machlokas Rashi Ramban, how broadly applied. It doesn't sound like it's necessarily so incredibly thrilling, unless you have a taste for that, until you realize that it has extraordinary significance in the way we read the second half of Chumash Shmos. Take a look, please, at source number 10. Rashi comments, here we are, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud-Chet, Ve'itena El Moshe, in the midst of Parshas Kisisa. Parshas Kisisa is not our main focus right now, but it is... There are a lot of different pieces in Parshas Kisisa. You have the Eagle. We read some of it just the other week, Asar B'Teves. But a lot of different fascinating pieces, but sometimes hard to figure out how to thread them together. And what comes first, what comes second? Rashi says, Ein Mukna Baruch HaVatorah. Rashi says, Parshas Kisisa is a key example of this principle. Remember, Rashi is the one who's willing to apply it more liberally. Masa Eagle Kodim Letzibim Lapis HaMishkan Yamei Rabin. Rashi says, even though in Truma Tetzaveh, is where you have the Tzivoy, the commandment to make the Mishkan, it's actualized in Vayakal Pekudei. In between Truma Tetzaveh and Pekudei is Kisisa. And again, of all the stories in Kisisa, the one that stands out the most is the Shmiras Haluchos. Right. And that happens on, the Mishnah tells us, Shivas Vatamas. 40 days after Matan Torah. Right. 40 days later, Matan Torah is in Yisrael Mishpatim. 40 days later is the breaking of the Luchas. When does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe Rabbeinu about building the Mishnah? It appears in the Chumash before Kisisa. Ramban said, Rashi says, Ein Muktam Ruch HaBatorah. The Eagle happened first. The breaking of the Luchas happened first. And then, Maisa Eagle Kodim Letzivim Lachas and Mishkan Yalan Rabin. Kisisa happened way before Truma Tetzaveh. Because Rashi says the Luchas are broken. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the first 40 days on Shivas Matamas. Should have been a day of Kabbalah Satorah. Should have been an incredible day. Shivas Matamas should have been the second half of the story of Shavuos. Instead, it's a tragic day. Shmiras Haluchos. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on Har Sinai again. According to the Midrash, he goes up on Har Sinai two more times. Finally, coming down successful with the second set of Luchos, the palpable expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Slicha, Kapar for Klal Yisrael, on Yom Kippur. Now he's finally down. And Rashi says, and now, Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Jewish people and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just told me, you got to build a Mishkan. Yud Zayin B'Tamuz says Rashi and Shabbos Haluchos. Uv Yom HaKippurim Nisratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu LiYisrael. It was only months later, around 80 days later, Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael a second chance, and it's the next day, L'machor HaSitzchiyu B'Nidvas HaMishkan. The next day they begin to donate towards the Mishkan, and finally Rosh Chodesh Nisan is when it gets put up and put into action. So Rashi says, don't worry, Ein Muktam Uch HaBatorah. Egel came first, and then thereafter, subsequently, after Yom Kippur, is when on Yom Kippur, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Moshe Rabbeinu down the Luchos, he says, by the way, you can need Luchos, here's the second set of Luchos, and Klal Yisrael will need a Mishkan. That's the way Rashi presents it. Why? Because Rashi holds in Mukta Ruchu Torah. You can apply that liberally. Ramban says there's nothing doing. And take a look, he says in several places, but for instance, take a look at number 11, the Ramban's Perush on Parshas Tzav. This is Vayikra Ches Beis. V'alderech HaYasher, number 11. The Ramban says he thinks the straightest way to read the Chumash is to read it straight. Nitztaveh Moshe Melech Zamishan Kodol Ma'asa Egel. What do you expect Ramban to say? He's the man who says, Ein Muktam Ruch HaBatorah, we apply it very sparingly, only when the Torah gives dates. There are no dates given, and therefore, everything's in order. So Ramban looks at Rashi and says, I think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to build the Mishkan even before the story of the Eagle. And that's exactly what he says here. Nitztaveh Moshe Melech HaMishkan Kodem L'Masa HaEagle. This was part of the original plan. In other words, well, what's the key point here? We're moving from details of Parshanut to a big picture. How do you look at a Mishkan? Right, because according to Rashi, the Mishkan is b'di'evad. once they had an ega, and they were doing, we're mired in chet, we're going to need a mishkan to solve our problems. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I see you need a mishkan. I see you need mishkan, you need karbanos, you're going to need a way to resolve these issues, to fix up the mess. Ramban says, no. Mishkan was, so to speak, lechatchila. Rabban says Mishkan was a part of the story, Meirosh, even had there been no Egel, even had there been no second set of luchos, no need for a second set of luchos. Rabban says HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Mishkan the first 40 days. Yisro Mishpatim, Mamon Har Sinai, and then he's up on Har Sinai for 40 days, during which time, among other things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches Moshe Rabbeinu about the Mishkan, about the Big Day Kuna. And the plan was, he's going to come down on Shavas Vatamas with a set of luchos, to cause us all ready to accept it, and let's get started with building a Mishkan. For Rashi, because of his approach to Emuk to Mochav HaTorah, Mishkan is a response to Chet. Mishkan was a response to the Egel Hazav. For Ramban, Mishkan is not fine on the heels of the Egel. For Ramban, Mishkan is fine on the heels of what?
Matan
Torah. Right. Now let's come back. Let's come back to the end of the Hakdama. Back to source number 4. Right? He said, we're talking about the story of Gullus and Geula. So he said, number one, to appreciate Gullus, you have to go all the way back to when we began our downward spiral. So you have to step back for a couple of psukim, the beginning of Shmos, to the Jewish people leaving Eretz Yisrael. So that's the beginning of the downward motion. Right? And then we need to see us, and to see Geula, we need to see not only leaving Mitzrayim, not only Mamon Har Sinai, but Rabban says it was Map Torah and Mishkan because then El Malos Avosam Yeshuvu. That's where we're going to come to Geula. Geula is a return, as Rabbi Shechter has said many times in various contexts. You see, at the end of Chumash Vayikra also, Geula is a return to the ideal state. What's the ideal state of Klal Yisrael? In close connection, in close communion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way the Avos were with HaKadosh Baruch Hu back before Galus Mitzrayim. So, and that's being accomplished over the course of Chumash Shmos. Ramban writes later on in Chumash Shmos, beginning of Truma, I believe, going back to this idea that Mishkan, the main purpose of the Mishkan was what? The main purpose of Mishkan was to continue what happened at Mamre Har Sinai. Not just, because what happened at Mamre Har Sinai was not just the giving of the Torah, what happened at Mamre Har Sinai was an incredibly intense connectedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara Chazal speak about Klal Yisrael having some sort of mass nevuah. There was some sort of mass nevuah at Kriyas Yamsuf. Then there was even greater, it sounds like, mass nevuah at the time of Mamre Har Sinai. The Rambam and Kuzri speak about this. The Klal Yisrael prophetically appreciated what was happening. They prophetically appreciated the unique prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it was an incredibly intense experience. At the same time, it was incredibly temporary. Right? The Chumash even tells us that as long as the Shekhinah was on Har Sinai, say it was no one was allowed to walk on. Sounds like it was all one big Kodesh HaKadoshim. But it was very intense, but then it was all over. And there was not a speck. There's no Kedusha in Har Sinai nowadays. The moment that final shofar blast was heard, anyone who wanted to could prance onto Har Sinai. It was incredibly intense, but entirely temporary. Kadosh Baruch Hu says Ramban, we're going to need a way to continue that. It'll be less intense, but far more consistent. How do we do that? We do that through a Mishkan. We do that through a Mikdash. That was the primary goal of building a Mikdash, was to be Mamshech, the Sinai experience. To have a moving Har Sinai. We're not going to be able to have that same degree of intensity forever, but we're going to have a piece of that we can take with us wherever we go. First, wherever we go over a course of our travels in the Midbar, and then ultimately, we're going to reestablish a Mishkan, the form of Beis HaMikdash, in Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is going to be centered around a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So for the Ramban, again, from his technical shita about Ein Mukdam Ruch about Torah, flows the assumption that Truma Tetzaveh must have happened before Kisisa, that although the Jews never got around to actually building the Mishkan until later, But they were, but the tzivu is already given even before the chet ha'egel occurred. And again, from that flows the Ramban's thematic disagreement with Rashi over what was the Mishkan meant primarily to accomplish. Is Mishkan primarily about responding to Egel, responding to Chet, the way Rashi puts it? Or is Mishkan primarily about continuing the Mamad Har Sinai experience? Is Mishkan primarily about the connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, with the Karbanos almost as an afterthought? As an aside, let me point you to the opening Rambam, in the opening Rambam Sefer Avodah. We mentioned before, you know, how the Rambam lays out all the topics of Beis HaMikdash and Karbanos. It's a fascinating... There's a fascinating fusion in the way the Rambam opens the halachas of Beis HaMikdash. Take a look. Source number 12. Mitzvah Aseh Lasos Bayis Lashem. A mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash, that's how Rambam opens. A house for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And for what purpose? Here the Rambam is giving, as he always does, he introduces the mitzvah, sort of a thumbnail portrait. Here's the bare bones, basic definition of what is the mitzvah. What's the executive summary? Give me in one line. A Beis HaMikdash admits it to build what? Lios makrivim bar karbanos v'chogim elav shalosh pa'am bashana. A Beis HaMikdash, at its core, is a place, Rambam says, for two things. A placement for karbanos and for aliyah l'regel. A place where Jews will travel three times a year to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sounds like the Rambam is actually fusing both perspectives. Right? He talks about Beis HaMikdash is a place for karbanos, that's Rashi, but it's also a place for, not just when you come to Aliyah L'Regel, you bring karbanos, that's true, but that's not his focus. It's a place where you come three times a year. That's a Ramban perspective of Beis HaMikdash is primarily about Kurva HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now, with the Ramban's perspective in mind, you look at Chumash Shmos and Vayikra, and it sings. But we understand well why, for the Ramban, Karbanos appear in Vayikra. Karbanos, that's right, Vayikra is about Karbanos. Taurus Kohanim, absolutely true. But Mishkan doesn't belong in Taurus Kohanim, because Mishkan is much more than just Karbanos. Mishkan, at its core, is an ongoing Har Sinai. Mishkan, at its core, is a place of where a person can come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As I said before, karbanos are an afterthought. Meaning, if there's a mitzvah to bring karbanos, obviously, once you have a mishkan, once you have a bayis l'Hashem, so the best place to bring karbanos is going to be in the mishkan. But that's not the purpose. That's not the telos of mishkan. The telos of mishkan is to have that kurva, to have that close relationship with Ribono Shel Olam. And let me end with let's branch this out. Now that we have this concept, of Shmos, so well, I want to end with two additional movements, two additional threads here. But first, let's just appreciate what we just learned. We just learned the Ramban's Hakdama to Shmos, and we just experienced what we were talking about before. We just experienced the Ramban's perspective on Chumash. So look absolutely at the details. And but also to look at the big picture. And it's the big picture, and those aren't at odds. The big picture comes from a sensitivity to detail. The big picture comes from a sensitivity to where is the opening pasuk happening and when. And I neglected to mention before, the last pasuk. If you take a look at the very last pasuk of Pikudei, it's gorgeous. What's the last pasuk? Source number 6. The end of Pikudei, the Mishnah has been built. Moshe is putting it all together. By Yakim, it's a chatzah, so Ruzla Mashkan. Putting up the chatzah. Vitenus Masach Shari Chatzah. Vayachal Moshe Samalacha. Perek Man Pasuk Lamagimel. Moshe, for this is the last in a series of psukim, enumerating all the different pieces of the Mishnah Moshe is putting together. He's now completed the work. He's completed the human work. And now Kadosh Baruch Hu takes over. Vayachas Heanaz Olam Oed. The divine cloud moves in. Kavod Hashem Alei HaMishkan. And the Mishkan is full of the glory of Ribono Shel Olam. So much so. Moshe can't even walk in. Kishachan Alav HaAnon. It was over. The Kedusha was overpowering. Kavod Hashem Alei HaMishkan. And then Pesukim begin to explain. Not only was the Anon present in the Mishkan, but it was going to begin to impact Klal Yisrael. When the Anon would rise, that was a siman that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants the Jewish people to move. Lo yala anan, if it stays in place, if the anan is stationary, then we're not going to move. Ki anan Hashem al mishkan yamam ve'esh tiyalayla bo le'enei kol beis Yisrael b'chol ma'asehev. They're now going to have something they can see whenever they go, wherever they travel. That is the exact right point for Shmos to end. That's Geula. Not only do we build the Mishkan, it worked. Meaning, it actually became a place of Hashem. Not only did we follow the mitzvahs, we followed the dinim, we built everything according to specs, but the Shechina moved in. We're now Sod Elka Aleim. And that, by the way, is the cosine. Because the cosine graph looks like this. You start from the top, and then you go down, and you work your way back up. That's exactly, Rabban says, the picture that sketches the story, the narrative of Shmos. The Chumash backs up so we can see the top point. Why? Because Geula is to get back to the original stage. That's why it's so important for us, for the Chumash to back up, to see Yaakov for a moment with his children before he goes down to Mitzrayim, when they were still, as Rambam put, Sodel Kaleelem, they had their own natural Mishkan. Without building a Mishkan, they had Hashras HaShechinah in their homes. And then they go down and down and down and down and down, and they hit the bottom. And they work their way back up, not just to leave the bottom and not to be in Mitzrayim. And not only to even go a step further and have a moments of great Kedusha, moments of great connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai, but to get back to the top and to get back to a place where that sort of connection is not going to be a one-off event, but it's going to be an ongoing reality as it was for the others. Because that's the goal, is not just to have great moments of Kedusha, the goal is to have an ongoing reality, a lifestyle of Kedusha. And that was represented and created by the Mishkan. Now, you might ask, that's beautiful, if you have a Mishkan. It's something we daven for several times a day. Where is it in our lives? So let's end with two things. Number one, two Rambams that speak to very, very, unlike Karbanos, mitzvahs are very much a part of the warp and weft of our everyday lives, in which Reb Chaim and the Rav respectively saw echoes of this same reality. Take a look at Hilchas Tefillah, number 13, is in the fourth chapter of the Rambam's Hilchas Tefillah, Perek Tezayin. This is a Rambam in which one of the most celebrated pieces of Reb Chaim Sefer focuses on the following Rambam and draws our attention to read the words. The Rambam talks about the essence of Tefillah. What's the content of Tefillah? A Jew is going to daven Shmoneh Esrei, we need to have Kavanah. That's the kind of Rambam talks in the fourth chapter of Tefillah about the five essential elements, five essential conditions necessary for Tefillah to work, for Shmoneh Esrei to work. And the fifth is Kavanah, is focus. Now when we think about Kavanah, a lot to say about this Rambam, but the time is short. When we think about Kavanah, we tend to think about, to have more Kavanah, a good resolution, to have more Kavanah, I usually think about, art scroll, or Saks, or whichever, Birnbaum, whatever city you like, I have to think what the words mean. And you say refain, what's the thing? I'm dabbing for health. Baruch Aleinu, I'm dabbing for economic, financial stability. That's important. But Reb Chaim points out that if you read the Rambam slowly and carefully, that's not the most fundamental Kavanah. Case that he had Kavanah, here we are, source number 13. She'ifanez libo mikol machshavos. Kavanah at its core is to clear your mind of extraneous thoughts, v'yira atzmo ki'ilu omeid l'tnei Shechina, and to see yourself standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not about content, but it's about going out for coffee with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you go out for coffee with someone, oftentimes it's less about content. You think about the first time you met someone who became a good friend. Personal friend, business acquaintance, whatever it is. Beginning of a relationship, that first meeting may have been critical. You might not remember the content, but there was a vibe. We were spending time with each other. Rambam was saying, it's less about content. Content is critical, but even more critical is the being together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he goes on to say, that's why you have to prepare yourself, and you dress a certain way, you get yourself into the mind frame, and you relax, you focus, and then you can daven Shmoneh Esrei. The Rav points out in one of the Yortzeit drushes that there's a somewhat similar language in the last chapter of the Rambam's Hilchos Shabbos. In source 14, he talks about what covered Shabbos. A Jew prepares a mitzvah to prepare for Shabbos in advance, is to shower and to dress yourself in uniquely Shabbos clothing. Mitzvah adam lerchos pan v'yad v'rakav b'chamer erev Shabbos, to bathe yourself, have respect for Shabbos, u'mishatev b'tzitzis, v'yoshe b'kovid rosh, and you're in a serious frame of mind, nechal lehakabalas p'nei ha-Shabbos, prepare to meet Shabbos, shehu kamo yotzei l'kras ha-melech. Like going to meet the king. Rav points out Rambam does not speak about the queen, the Shabbos queen, but the Shabbos king, perhaps reminding us of two other places. Remind us of Hilchas Tefillah, you're going to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and remind us of the language he uses in terms of Beis HaMikdash. So there, even though we don't have yet access to a Mishkan, but we do have every day for three short slips of time and for an entire day every week, opportunities to have the essence of Mikdash. If we understand like the Ramban, that the essence of Mishkan was not what they did, not how they implemented, but the essence of Mishkan was that Kurvat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we had that Bizeir Ampin, we had that in miniature version every single day and every single week. We appreciate the opportunity that a Shmona Esrei gives us. If we spend 5 seconds, we can invest 15 seconds a day, we can transform it. If we spend 5 seconds between Gal Yisrael and Shmona Esrei, between the Chatzikayish of Mincha and Shmona Esrei, nothing fancy, no Kabbalistic kavanas. Just to consider for 4 or 5 seconds, do nothing but just think, I'm about to meet with HaKadosh Baruch. Simple. Powerful. It's a little bit of Mishkan, right here. It's a little bit of Geula. At 2 in the afternoon. Right? Grabbing a mincha in the stairwell, grabbing a mincha in someone else's office, but it could be transformed into a moment of Pikudei. It could be transformed into a moment of Geula. And Shabbos. We can sort of go through Shabbos and avoid Malacha. Or, if we enter Shabbos with a recognition, by making Shabbos special, we're having a little bit of Mishkan time. Having time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we take that opportunity, and why we want to lose that opportunity. And finally, in the minutes that remain, I promise 2 different threads. Thread number one is this idea of, as Reb Chaim the Rav pointed out, that the Shabbos and Tefillah are a little bit of a miniature of the essence of where Chumash Shemos takes us, where the cosine curve leaves us off at the top. And the other is to think for a couple of moments about the month of Tevis. And to consider, there's much to say about the month of Tevis. There's a famous story. Tevis is, we think about Sarah, but Tevis is laying under siege. It's the beginning of process. And it can be argued, maybe some other time we'll talk about it at greater length, that it's a appreciation of process gets us thinking about the fact that we don't get results right away. And that often, even when we see Churban, but there could be threads of Geula within the story of the Churban. It's significant that the episode in Megillas Esther, which occurs in Teves, appears here, source number 15, it's the capture, the kidnapping of Esther, the taking of Esther to Ahasuerus' palace. At the time, must have been an unimaginable family tragedy, unimaginable community tragedy. And it didn't make sense. We couldn't say why Kadosh Baruch Hu was doing this. We couldn't say why Ahasuerus was doing it either. It didn't fit. Esther didn't fit his criteria. The whole thing just didn't make sense on so many levels. And yet the Gemara points out in source number 17, in retrospect, this was a refuah kodem lamakah. Kadosh Baruch Hu put Esther in place so that when Haman would arise, she was already waiting, ready to be the vehicle for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yeshua. We didn't appreciate it at the time, but what happens in Teves is churban with threads of geula. What happens during the siege is the story of Hanamel, source number 18, the 32nd parak of Yirmiyahu, where Yirmiyahu is told while he's in jail, while he's busy, while the churban that he had been prophesying about is beginning to play out and the siege is going on and famine is building, at the same time he's told by Kadosh Baruch Hu to buy real estate in Israel to tell the Jews, this is terrible right now, but we will yet, the real estate market will come back. Your great-grandchildren will yet farm these fields. There's a point to investing in Eretz Israel. So it's churban, but with threads of geula. And so that's even at the bottom of the cosine curve, but if you recognize process, siege is process of churban, but in a larger sense, a sense of process is to recognize that Baruch Hu may take us through Gal Snor to get to geula. That's what Ramban wrote in Vayigash. And with this we close. The opening pasuk of Shmos, Ve'ela Shmos B'nei Yisrael Havoy Mitzrayma, Eis Yaakov Ishu Beis Avo. Rabbana Ve'igar says, two names in one pasuk. Is he Yaakov or is he Yisrael? Is he winning or is he the man of Galus? Rabban says, it's all at the same time. At this moment, right as he's going down, in the moment he's Yaakov. In the moment he's losing, in the moment he's entering into Galus. But this is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's larger scheme towards Yisrael. This is part of the winning. This is part of the story of Geula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us through cycles, and if we can see that process, and we can see opportunities to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when we don't feel like we're on top of the graph, we can accomplish much of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in mind for us, and is teaching us over the course of Sefer Shmos. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be glad to take questions outside, but I understand next year is going to start here in just a couple of minutes.